understand God religion, you have to understand Him on a human level. And that is very difficult because we have desires and they don't have desires. We think we have to save our souls. They tell us we are souls because they know they are souls. They tell us, don't try to save it, try to accept it. We can't accept that because pain and suffering is too great in our lives. They show us, they will take any pain and suffering and rise above it. So soul is that true beingness, and in its nature and in its magnitude is love in action. If we go through all the various desire forms that have been crystallized by the natural consciousness, you will see they are no miracles. But there is a law on the line with crystallization of thought. God does not work in miracles, He works by laws. The creative intelligence works by laws. And these laws are all locked up in us. We don't invent them. We simply come to relate ourselves to them and release them. There is a law working inside of us, and it's the law of light. This whole universe is a congealed form of light. It's built like a hologram. One cosmic laser beam, a three-dimensional expression of mass. Therefore, we are crystallized in the laser beam of light, and we have our mass, our three-dimensional experience. But we live in nine dimensions, and we can only seem to utilize a few of the dimensions because we don't understand what a dimension is as yet. We know of length, breadth, and depth, and we call that the three-dimensional world. But these are in terms of using the ruler as a device to measure length, breadth, and depth. We also live in the universe of motion while we are in length, breadth, and depth. And that motion is called time. And the only way you measure time is by another ruler. It's called a watch. You are watching the motion of the earth in relation to another heavenly mass, and therefore relating the measurement as time between light and shadow, or light and darkness. There is no time. There is motion. But the motion gives the illusion of time necessary for counting, necessary for action, necessary for relating. Now there is no space either, but there is celestial pressure, where all masses revolve and curve upon themselves and live in a continuum. The mass is held together by the external pressure of push and pull, known as centrifugal and centripetal energy, or forces. Therefore, if we change the state, if you were to take away these pressures, everything will dissolve back into pure energy. And energy is light, and it's only self-contained by its own electron field. And this electron field is called spirit in the Bible. So man is not discovering anything new. He's not making any new universe. He's simply realizing that God is around him as spirit, and that his spirit holds the atom. And that no religion in the earth plane or the planet earth has all the answers about God. Every atom is a stone. Every expression of thought is its presence. So which religion in the earth plane, let alone trying to describe what the divinity is, it's limited. We have to see religion as that particular process in which harmony. On the earth plane, it is called relating to the Godhead, or returning back to the Godhead, or binding yourself back to the Godhead. The Latin word, religare. Religare, to bind, raise back. To bind back. If man binds himself back to his Creator, there are only four ways he can do that. One, by prayer. That particular privilege in which he's endowed to communicate with the Creator principle by thought. Two, by reason, logic, and experimentation to the satisfaction of the senses, lest he feel that he's a superstitious being. To give him the sense of beingness or ego, that he is conquering or dominating the world by his own volition. Third, meditation, the art of conscious shutdown by conscious volition, the art of conscious sleep, to rejuvenate the body at will. And meditation is only mental energy directing your individual thought activity towards an intuitive observation of oneness of the noumena. This identity brings you oneness with the spirit. The fourth way you can go back to the Creator source is the art of conscious death. Scientific life control, in which you are capable of shutting down your vital energy, turning it off at will. No man take my life from me. I have the power to lay it down and pick it up. I live and die daily in the Lord. This is conscious control of the life energy of shutting down the heart and lungs at will. The individual who knows this thoroughly does not die by any karmic reaction due to unfinished desires. He alone has the ability to shut the energy. He alone picks it up back. He alone can sever the astral cord between the astral body and the physical body. So the point is this. Religion on the earth plane has nothing to do with the names of the founders. It has to do with the cosmic law of relating back to the universal creative energy, the audible life current. We can do that by sound in the form of prayer, and by the constant repetition of the prayer. We can do it also by logic, analysis, and experimentation to find the source of the audible current in matter. We can do it by meditation, in which we have oneness with matter, oneness with spirit. And finally, we metamorphose ourselves from a grubby, non-human being, yet the subject of decay as death. We can now change this mass by an ethical life into a non-decaying mass of death. When this body has thrown out corruption and taken on non-corruption, it is a glory unto the Lord. To him that overcometh, I will not send forth a second time. You become a cosmic butterfly. You have resurrected yourself by ethical life. The whole purpose of Master Jesus or any master on this earth is to show that the ethical life is a transforming process of changing this physical flesh into spirit, thereby it does not decompose no more. It can be resurrected and taken at will into the galactic system. Man is on his way back home from the celestial throne of God where he came from. By his own ego, he trapped himself in the time cycle. we should be thankful that we can recognize it while you're alive in the body. You can't recognize it when you're outside of the body. And you can't correct it when you're outside of the body. And you can't make any contribution when you're outside of the body. The human body, or the flesh, is the testing ground for the spirit. Blessed is he who has been born and has found divine certitude and trust in the spirit of his flesh. That is from the Jain writing. Jesus will put it another way for you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, which is within you, and all these things will be added unto you. It does not matter where you hear the truth, it's the same thing they're talking about. To him that overcometh, I'll not send forth a second time, I'll make him appear in the house of the Lord. Jesus. Any questions? A master functioning from the fifth level is the intuitive level, cannot usurp the right of interfering with other people's thought activities or desires. He has a time cycle. Remember, he's living in a creation that is governed by time. A master came. God is the eternal principle of creative energy, is in the timeless state after performing everything that there is to perform in a time state called creation. Creation exists in time. Now, there really is no time as a natural principle. There is the illusion of time in which creation must exist or appear to exist. Now, in this appearance, a unit of time is the distance light crosses the width of an electron, giving its potentiality as a creation. Now, the width of an electron is a fantastic measurement. If you ever seen an electron, let alone measure its diameter. You have to measure it in millions and millions of kryptons to get the exact measurement of the width of an electron and the speed of which it's traveling across it. Now, light is traveling at 186,000 miles per second. That is accepted measurement per second. Now, one electron, its diameter, the distance across, is trillions of kryptons, let alone a second. It's microseconds. So there really is no such thing as time. All that exists is infinite motion to the highest degree of ultrasonic movement. The Creator is audible like energy. He spoke before he became light. Not a person, it's a principle. Sound precedes the light. But in our relative world in which we live, light seems to come ahead of sound, especially in a thunderclap and lightning. The lightning would be seen first, and then the roar of the thunder is after. But in the cosmic realm of timelessness, the sound is first and the light is after. In fact, the light is too slow for the sound. Come, let us do something. Let there be light. The command has to be given before the force can go out. So sound is responsible for life, audible life current. It's audible. Why? Because you can hear it. You can hear the life current inside your own body. It's there. There is a music going on in you if you can listen to it. And those who have heard the music know Hearing it is one, oh man. Feeling it is another thing. For he who can see the Lord in human form has seen him at his best.
Between that point, the cosmic life force is vibrating, or
this would then throw a different light on the subject that man would be searching now for his soul. But because he said the word is God, man don't search his soul no more. Man is soul. And the word was made flesh. That means the creative process became his universe himself by his own time cycle. Out of his timeless nature, he designed a time cycle. He made himself into a lower level of existence by setting up a relative creation based on light and time and space, and put it in a continuum, that means an infinity action, that will be here for as long as we hold it together by karmic law. Now Jesus said when he was in the body, though heaven and earth may pass away, change their form, not one word or jot or tittle of my words shall pass away. Now a jot is a full stop, a tittle is a comma, that's old-fashioned English. So not one jot, not one full stop, not one comma in the actual sound frequencies that are released by the voice of the being can ever go out of existence. You can't take out the ideations of existence out of the universe, though you can change their atomic change. So when my time has not yet come, he could not enforce a dictatorial dominance in the time cycle because he's a master to prove to those who live in the time cycle his superiority. He has to respect when in Rome, do like the Romans. When you're in a time cycle, work with the time cycle. So he had to work by divine will. He therefore was at the right place, the right time, for the right confrontation at the wedding, and for the right experience to behave without forcing his will. He had to be asked before he do anything. That is primarily the role of a living master who has mastered himself. The role of the soul living in a time cycle that knows no boundary lines save love. By the mere love for the creative force field, he is passing through the time cycles in which he himself is responsible, but he dare not break it. Now Caesar is not above his law. The master is not above the law. He obeys the law, but he shows by his love the law has no control over him. He approaches every condition by facing it and pass through it. And all that time asks us as a human being to face your principles, face your obligations. So if you're facing it, then you're master of it. If you're not facing it, you're running, and then you're avoiding. And when you avoid, you have to come back and do it all over again. That's what it's called, doing it a second time. You're not overcoming. Now the highest form of therapy for a schizophrenic individual or any neurotic individual is to fight back. Mother, I'd rather do it myself. If you have that type of attitude, you want to do it and fight back, you will break down the patterns that hold you back, and you will not avoid or run. Then you transcend. So, involvement is a key word in spiritual growth. Forget your origin. Your origin is established. That God has become you, therefore you are soul. You don't have a soul. Realize your involvement because you're alive and you have a commitment to yourself to face the time cycles and the repercussions. And the journey is towards emergence from reincarnation to resurrection. We do not have to reincarnate. We have to resurrect. Alright, put some ice cream on top of it. Now you know what my time has not yet come. You understand it? We have to be us. Now, no master will usurp that right. Though he has the power to crystallize thought, he cannot, because then he would be exhibiting his ego. Ego is best recognized as hurrying to do something too fast without waiting on the Lord's dispensation, and not waiting on the dispensation of the Lord for his time to let you express it. You know, when you want to do something badly, you're chomping at the bit. You got to be doing it. Who are you doing it for? The people that need it, or for your own self expression to impress them? Yet if you wait and don't get aggravated, sooner or later, that's what you have to do, it will happen. Have you never experienced that? Then you learn lesson number one in the spiritual life: watch out, don't eat your own words back. Because you're going to always eat them back. And the words and the adjectives and the A's and the B's and C's, all the letters, they can stick in that throat there and give you tonsillitis. You know, this is the problem. Yes, and many of us get burping, you know. We burp up some of the A's and the B's. So, spiritual life is that particular life that throws us into a situation where we may have to eat our own words back by being in a hurry. And you ever hear the people say, I wouldn't do this, I ain't going to do this no more? What they end up doing in the next half hour. Because that's exactly how the creative intelligence works in us. To make us realize that our ego is locked into the time cycle, and the time cycle is going to throw us the confrontation immediately to make us face it, to eat our own words back. So if you're not in a hurry, you just wait and don't push, sooner or later you're going to get the excuse. When you're in a hurry, that's what Jesus says, by the time has just come, be in a hurry. In fact, he was very, very slow. All that he did, if you take the scriptures and put them, all the things that he did, they can be all done in 24 hours. All the so-called miracles of the 3.5 years of physical existence can be all done in 24 hours. The ability to crystallize thought doesn't take too long. And if it doesn't take too long to crystallize them, how many miracles can he perform in 24 hours? 60 seconds make a minute, 60 minutes make an hour, 24 hours make a day. How many miracles you got? Yes, that's thousands of miracles you're performing. Alright? So we know that even the crystallizing of people's thoughts, we have to teach them the lesson of patience. And even some of the people he could not help, you realize that? Did he not say himself, with these people I can do nothing? A master does not alter the thought patterns of people who don't want to be altered, that set up their own ego and block it. He works with those who are humble and those who are receptive and those who are karmically linked. For he himself is divine love, without coercion. He is unconditional love. Therefore he is not concerned or will not use the other individual for his personal gain. He has no gain to have by performing a miracle, because there is no miracle to perform. He brings their desires into focus by responding to the time cycle that that desire is supposed to crystallize for them. He knows exactly that split second that it is going to happen. And if you live the spiritual life, you'll notice that the spiritual life is photogenic most of the time. I'm talking from experience now. pictures, I love you. Oh, I love you. Oh, I love you. Right there on Fort O'Bannon. But the sea Fort O'Bannon is good. Anyway. Thank you. Let's have our initiate anthem. What the fellowship represents. The primary function of the All-Faith Fellowship is not to convert anyone to any belief or from any belief, but merely to present all beliefs, their essential structure, and the underlying basic principles of a common unity among them all, and to emphasize the practical nature by living it. So we will find ourselves discussing philosophies of Yogananda, Karan Singh, Kirpal Singh, Sai Baba, all a host of things that you never heard of, because we're not here to convert or coerce you, but to make you better acquainted with what you have, how to make it work, and to give you an insight into truth from all angles, that you will be able to see the common bond and realize that you are the means for its expression. If this removes the doubt that you're trying to make any individual into some type of a special product, walk in the truth. We may seem to talk of more groups and their activities more than others at times and involve ourselves, but that is not trying to make you over. The truth is one. The parts are many. The masters, when they sit down, in their presence you find peace. When you get together with your disciples, you find war. Peace is the essential structure of all beliefs. It is achieved by a constant process of behavior. But this process may have different ways of being recognized by various people who apply them. And each aspect is important. It's like a wheel. For each individual, the rim of the wheel is first to death. The journey is a spoke that connects the rim to the hub. The hub is the ideal of spiritual life. There are many spokes in a wheel. They're all connected to the one rim and to the one hub. But a wheel is a useless object without an axle. The axle is made of the same material, but it's not connected by a way, shape, or form as part of the wheel. The wheel can only rotate around the axle to have some purpose. Yet if there is no breeze between the axle and the hub of the wheel, they're going to be sizing up, seizing up, hardening up of the wheel, and that it's stuck, it can do nothing. God is like that axis. He's part of the wheel by his structure, in which it's made of the same material. We are made of the same material, but God is like the axis apart from us in consciousness. We only relate to him by the rotation around our beingness in him, which is the love, and the love is that grease that lubricates you and keeps you going. You find it in Seva, S-E-V-A and S-E-V-I-O-U-R. Take your S-E-V-A and you'll also find your S-E-V-I-O-U-R. My God, it's all love. Wherever you look at it, whoever presents this particular attitude or list of techniques, essentially they're going to be one thing you're going to learn. But the masters are all in agreement when it comes to peace. There is no conflict. But if you choose to be one-sided, limited by selecting and shutting out the other, then you don't have the true understanding of the function of what a fellowship represents. The fellowship is trying to make you aware of all the possibilities, all the avenues, and the common unity all in one life front. So, there is no conflict of Christianity, Mohammedanism, Buddhism, Sikhism, Jainism, Hinduism. There may be conflict in Christianity. All the Christianities of the world may be in conflict with the essential truth of the teachings of the Great Ones. Christianity is not Christianity. It does not begin or end with the Master Jesus. Christianity is that particular state of being in which the intuitive nature of man is called the Master Consciousness or the Christ Self. We all have a Master Consciousness. We all have to awaken it. But we don't know how to awaken it. And it's not in books. Through the grace of the creative intelligence, the awakening comes by human contact. That's why they say God has become man. We need that contact at the human level in some form to indicate to us a feeling of what bliss is. If you experience bliss, you may not know what it means or what it really means to you. But if you meet another human being who can arouse that bliss in you and make you have the same experience, and when you leave that person, you can have that same experience in consciousness, then you have found what God truly is. But God is bliss, existing within you, and can be experienced moment to moment on a conscious level. Like the man said, when the woman asked the priest if there are any books for meditation, she said the priest told her it was for the saints. Meditation is for the saints. So she figured out that she'd be short things by her church. She wanted to go to church to learn how to become a saint, only to find out that meditation is for saints. And the congregation is supposed to know nothing about that. So what type of congregation were you creating? If we aren't creating things, what are we creating? We're only creating a bunch of slaves. So, a great deal of ideas that are not going to liberate us. The same, according to your dictionary, is a sane man, a human being, who has achieved eternal patience. And a charitable nature. It is not by the canonization of a church that makes him a saint, nor the miracles that he performed during his life, nor the miracles that are performed after he died by praying for him. These are all the byproducts of the nature of the human being that has been transformed by ethical living. A saint is a human being whose life has been transformed by ethical principles. Once transformed, set up the necessary receptivity to think of him or generate the desire around him, his vibratory nature to crystallize it. And it begins to happen in your life every day, let alone any times other the body. Now the saint has no desire, but he has one gift, which is called the Christ intelligence in him. That is the ability to crystallize thoughts at will. Not his thoughts, not his desires, but yours who have a need. Because you've got to go to him. He's not going to come to you. He's not going to come and knock you on the head and tell you, I'm a saint. And he's not going to relieve you of your sufferings or your desires unless you turn to him. Because he is saying, he is the only individual that has his true sanity about himself. We are all to some degree insane because we are constantly pursuing our desires in many directions, creating self-destruction of them. A saint don't have any. He has the sanctity of his being by learning to be patient. And he has what is known as the character of nature, which is giving. And he has learned the secret that giving is getting back. As long as you give, you get back. The more you give, the more you get back. So, he would even give his life to you. He has learned that much. He would lay down his life for my sake, and I would back. Life unto life, restores life and builds life, is the essence of the saint's life. This is taken from the Sufi. They're saying exactly what Jesus is saying. If you lay down your life for your fellow man, you will have it back. There is no greater love than he who lays down his life for his fellow man. Once you can recognize these principles in all beliefs, you recognize what is the actual living of a spiritual person, what he has to do. He has to become human. We say we're human because we look at ourselves. Outwardly, yes, from the standpoint of vision and comparison, we are human. Emotionally, psychologically, many of us are like animals, insects. And we have all the tendencies of them in our personality makeup. Some are like pigs, some are like dogs, some are like chickens, some are like cats. Strange thing. Those who can see on the inner realm can see their animal tendencies locked up in you. All these tendencies are clawing out from the mechanism. And the aura is there. The aura shows up all the thought patterns, your behavior, your emotional nature is there. Strange phenomena, but it's there, and we are not aware of it because we are not steady in consciousness. Our minds are wandering all over the place, and we can't see it. Therefore, we don't recognize it. Now, Jesus used a term when he said, cast not your pearls before swine, lest they turn around and rend you. Literally, this is an untrue statement. You can take a handful of pearls and put in front of four or five pigs. They are not turn around and run you down into the ground. So he's not talking of a literal pig and a literal pearl concerning human beings. He value is presented to them that you cherish as a human being, attempt to elevate you, they, with their animosity and their pig-like tendency, their sensory nature, that groveling offenses in the slop of their ignorance, because they don't know any better, then they will peer into you like wild pigs, and like peccaries. A peccary is a wild pig with a two horns right in the front of the nose, and it will gore you. Human beings have a tendency to do that when you have something of value that you discovered in your life that is said to elevate you, and they do not understand, they will gore you with their criticism. Before you know it, you have one individual who is literally massacred by vibrations of words, thoughts of animosity, jealousy, anger, hate, resentment. And to be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove, again, that's not a factor. There is nothing more violent than a dove when it fights. When two doves fight, there is no quarter given between the two doves. And a snake is not smart. He can be outwitted. The only reason he's called wise is because he hides under little holes in the ground and caves to avoid detection. When the master was using those terms or symbols, wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove, it's that because when you reach out to hold a dove, it will come right up behind. But that is not what is inferred when he's talking about a human being. Wise as a serpent infers the vital life that is stored up in the spine, coiled up, just like a serpent is coiled up and hidden in some corner and cannot be recognized. In the base of your spine, coiled up within you, in the cockpit, it's shaped like a rattler, and on top of a rattlesnake, it has three little lobes. There within that pocket of your spine, we have the latent life power locked up in us. This potential force is a sounding board of life itself. It's a shunt for the earth current within the human body and the starting point of the male spine and the female spine. This energy rises up. Once it starts rising up out of its cave, it goes into various areas in the spinal section, in the various areas of the endocrine system, and rising up to the brain. Therefore, you will see in the headdress of the Egyptians the serpent over the headdress, or in the Indian paintings you will see the serpent, the head is spread out. They cannot draw life energy as a symbol, otherwise they will draw jagged lines. The only way they can relate to it in terms of art is to draw it like a snake. The reason for that is that when the energy is rising in the spine, it quivers mightily and goes up the spine. And when it quivers and goes up the spine, then it radiates out from the consciousness. This is the reason to say wise as a serpent. It is rising and vibrating up. When that energy rises within you, your senses open up in an extrasensory way. But it is not the extrasensory powers that you're concerned with. It is the ethical transformation of your nature that you are more concerned with. It's not impossible to perform psychic abilities. Psychic abilities are byproducts of the rising of the current in the spine. This occurs in everybody to some degree. In fact, you can be born having the psychic abilities and having no ethical nature. Master Jesus merely stated this in a simple way. What a profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul. And that is, utilizing the ego nature to exhibit psychic abilities, having no ethical nature in terms of human relationship with his fellow man. Therefore, he would have to come back by his unscrupulous methods that he used to take advantage of his fellow man by manipulating them. An ethical life is a spiritual life. The greatest saint may never perform a miracle in his own life. And in fact, the actual truth is, no human being performs miracles. These are the byproducts of the consciousness within the human being at a certain level, crystallizing other people's thoughts. Even Sai Baba goes around, and all the miracles that are attributed to him are in fact the reality that his consciousness crystallizes the people's desires, because Sai Baba is supposed to be of that caliber. And they have a desire, they want something, and he crystallizes it for them. A friend of mine met him, and he visited him for 3 months and saw many manifestations of consciousness. And when he was ready to leave, he with his wife, he didn't say to Sai Baba anything, he wanted a picture. He had his camera around him, but out of respect, he didn't want to photograph the man. So the wife spoke up and said, "Can we have a picture?" He said, "All right." So then her husband set out his camera to take the picture. As soon as he snapped the picture, Sai Baba took it away from him. Stopped it. Let it go like that. Materialized a photograph of himself and gave it to him. Then when he was giving it to him, he took it back again and he did 12 steps and fell with that materialized and he gave it to him. Also, he sensed that the man had a deep yearning for some object. The man had a desire for a ring way back in his childhood days. The desire was so strong that Baba picked up the thought pattern. And he said to him, "You want something?" He says, "No, no." He says, "Yes, you want something." And then he did like that and handed him a ring. And the ring was carved out to the face of Baba on the stone. Well, to his amazement, his desires were crystallized for him by the consciousness of Baba. Baba did not perform a single miracle, because Baba maintained the equanimity of his sanity and his ethical nature at that point in relationship to the frequency, the desire of the individual that is so multitudinous was suddenly crystallized in time and space. The manifestation is brought to the surface. Equally true, the people that lived around Jesus. Jesus did not have any desire. There's not a single thing that he did was an indication of a miracle. Everything he did was a crystallization of human desire for those who had a desire. The very first crystallization was the desire of his mother for the relatives who were having a wedding and ran out of wine. Nowadays, drank wine, these people. He attended a wedding as a visitor, as a relative, and the mother had concern because the wine had run out. Insufficient. She knows her son is in that state of awareness. She turns to him and says, "There is no wine." He says, "Woman, what is that to me?" Indicating once and for all, he has no desire. He does not even call her mother, because God, it's mother nature. In the world of manifestation, and to call a woman mother, which is a realized man, would be a violation of the truth. So you have to put her in her place to find her true relationship in connection with the God self. So he says to her, woman, my time has not yet come. A master who is functioning, or the soul that is functioning from the master consciousness, does not violate the time cycle, unless it's accountable to the time cycle. And that fellow is a very, very demanding individual. His name is Cal. Time. He's very relentless. He wants every penny of the karma he uses up, of the life energy that he uses in this world of time. Some people call him Satan. But it's the time cycle in which the master consciousness is aware of the creative forces that are available to it and can use it. So Master Jesus crystallized her desire by love, out of the love for the woman, which is mother to him. He emanates that thought pattern and causes it to crystallize through the time cycle. The normal time cycle to make wine would be X amount of years to grow the grapes, X amount of years to harvest it, X amount of time to beat it into wine and ferment it. So that is time plus energy to bring an object into manifestation. The normal method is to bring it into manifestation. Having the ability to crystallize thought at will now, which is the Christ intelligence, he does not lack anything, he does not want anything, he does not need anything. Therefore, thought is speeded up now into the time cycle. He is capable of manifesting his thought at the speed of light squared, 106,000 miles per second squared, which is instantaneous, because all matter is energy, all matter is atoms, and all atoms are spirit, and all spirit is thought, and all thought is love. And being a master of the intuitive level, his whole being is love. Everything you touch brings his love into crystallization. But he is a human being. He is that expression of the divinity that has taken the flesh. In the beginning is the Word, the audible life current, and the Word was just God. The Word is a consciousness of time, beyond time. And the Word is God. The audible life current is the eternal now. God is the eternal principle, is not a man in a stone. Yet the Word has to become flesh, crystallized into substance at a human level. The humanness of the human body is a divinity in matter, and at the same time is a spirit in motion. That's why a living master is often referred to as God in flesh. That's why you want to come in contact with that expression at times, to recognize it, to understand divinity in action. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt in man, not the animal. Animal has a flesh body, but man's body is flesh. It's the only substance that will hold back on this side of the wall of the flesh the five elements of the universe that are in conflict, and on the other side of the wall, in unity. When you look at your body, you are looking at the temple of the creative force, a manifestation of spirit, and you don't have to see this soul because your soul, you have to accept it. But you have to accept at the same time the humility of being spirit, which is a hard thing to do, because the ego is striving definitely and desperately to impress by the psychic ability that is empowered. Only at the master level the capacity to crystallize thought is entrusted, providing the physical frame has accepted the ethical laws of living. You can't be entrusted with such a power if you're unethical. You would make a havoc of the universe. It takes a great deal of spirituality to be ethical, to prevent people from destroying themselves by the mix magnitude of the proportion. So when a master is desireless, he has achieved the ethical nature, where he is not influenced now by any physical desire, let alone the attempt to force his will upon the society to make them accept divinity. The nature of Christ in man is that ability to materialize thought as will. Not the man Jesus. All men have the Christ in themselves. The things I do, you shall do also. And greater things you shall do. You can only do the things that the Christ allows you to do within yourself, and you will only do greater things according to the period and the time cycle that you live in. Now, if Master Jesus was to return back in the physical frame, you would not recognize him. In the first place, you will not even accept him, because you're already turned off to the long beard, the long hair, and the sandals and the beads. So what if he come back in that type of a dress to impress us with? Now if he come back in the Ivy League suit, you can't accept him either. If he comes in a space suit, you can't accept him either. So crying for the second coming of Christ, what are you crying for? Some individual that they come, beep, 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 here I am, Jesus Christ. You got the wrong impression of what the thing is all about. Masters are always in the world. There is never a moment that a self-realized or a God-realized man for its expression. This removes the doubt that you're trying to make any over any individual into some type of a special product far from the truth. They may seem to talk of more groups and their activities more than others at times, and involve ourselves, but that does not try to make you over. The truth is one. The parts are many. The masters, when they sit down, in their presence you find peace. When you get together with the disciples, you find war. Peace is the essential structure of all beliefs. It's achieved by a constant process of behavior. But this process may have different ways of being recognized by various people who apply them. And each aspect is important. It's like a wheel. For each individual, the rim of the wheel is burnt to death. The journey is a spoke that connects the rim to the hub. The hub is the ideal of spiritual life. There are many spokes in a wheel. They're all connected to the one rim and to the one hub. But a wheel is a useless object without an axle. The axle is made of the same material, but it's not connected by way, shape, or form as part of the wheel. The wheel can only rotate around the axle to have some purpose. Yet if there is no grease between the axle and the hub of the wheel, they're going to be sizing up, seizing up, hardening up of the wheel, and then it's stuck, it can do nothing. God is like that axle. He's part of the wheel by the structure in which it's made of the same material. We are made of the same material, but God is like the axle apart from us in consciousness. We only relate to him by the rotation around our beingness in him, which is the love, and the love is that grease that lubricates you. this particular attitude or list of techniques, essentially they're going to be one thing you're going to learn. But the masters are all in agreement when it comes to peace. There is no conflict. But if you choose to be one-sided, limited by selecting and shutting out the other, then you don't have the true understanding of the function of what a fellowship represents. The fellowship is trying to make you aware of all the possibilities, all the avenues, and the common unity all in one life span. So, there is no conflict with Christianity, Mohammedanism, Buddhism, Sikhism, Jainism, Hinduism. There may be conflict in Christianity. All the Christianities of the world may be in conflict with the essential truth of the teachings of the great ones. Christianity is not Christianity. It does not begin or end with the Master Jesus. Christianity is that particular state of being in which the intuitive nature of man is called the Master Consciousness or the Christ Self. We all have a Master Consciousness. We all have to awaken it. But we don't know how to awaken it. And start in books. Through the grace of the creative intelligence, the awakening comes by human contact. That's why they say God has become man. We need that contact at the human level in some form to indicate to us a feeling of what bliss is. If you experience bliss, you may not know what it means or what it really means to you. But if you meet another human being who can arouse that bliss in you and make you have the same experience, and then you leave that person, you can have that same experience in consciousness, then you have found what God truly is. But God is bliss existing within you and can be experienced moment to moment on a conscious level. Like the man said, when the woman asked the priest if there are any books for meditation, she said the priest told her it was for the saints. Meditation is for the saints. So she figured out that she'd be shortchanged by her church. She wanted to go to church to learn how to become a saint, only to find out that meditation is for saints. And the congregation ain't supposed to know nothing about that. So what type of congregation are we creating? If we aren't creating saints, what are we creating? We're only creating a bunch of slaves to a great deal of ideas that are not going to liberate us. The saint, according to your dictionary, is a sane man, a human being, who has achieved eternal patience. And a charitable nature. It is not by the canonization of a church that makes him a saint, nor the miracles that he performs during his life, nor the miracles that are performed after he died by praying for him. These are all the byproducts of the nature of the human being that has been transformed by ethical living. A saint is a human being whose life has been transformed by ethical principles. Once transformed, there is no miracle debarred. from his vibrations that he generates. When you set up the necessary receptivity to think of him or generate the desire around him, his vibratory nature can crystallize it. And it begins to happen in your life every day, let alone when he passes out of the body. Now the saint has no desire, but he has one gift, which is called the Christ intelligence in him. That is the ability to crystallize thoughts at will. Not his thoughts, not his desires, but yours who have a need. Because you've got to go to him. He's not going to come to you. He's not going to come and knock you on the head and tell you, I'm a saint. And he's not going to relieve you of your sufferings or your desires unless you turn to him. Because he is saying, he is the only individual that has his true sanity about himself. We are all to some degree insane because we are constantly pursuing our desires in many directions, creating self-destruction with them. A saint don't have any. He has the sanctity of his being by learning to be patient. And he has what is known as the charitable nature, which is giving. And he has learned the secret that giving is getting back. As long as you give, you get back. The more you give, the more you get back. So, he will even give his life to you. He has learned that much. He would lay down his life for my sake and have it back. Life unto life, restores life and builds life, is the essence of the saint's life. This is taken from the Sufi. They're saying exactly what Jesus is saying. If you lay down your life for your fellow man, you will have it back. There is no greater love than he who lays down his life for his fellow man. Once you can recognize these principles in all beliefs, you recognize what is the actual living of a spiritual person and what he has to do. He has to become human. And we say we are human because we look at ourselves. Outwardly, yes, from the standpoint of vision and comparison, we are humans. Emotionally, psychologically, many of us are like animals, insects. And we have all the tendencies of them in our personality makeup. Some are like pigs, some are like dogs, some are like pigeons, some are like cats. Strange thing. Those who can see in the inner realm can see your animal tendencies locked up in you. All these tendencies are clawing out from the mechanism. And the aura is there. The aura shows up all the thought patterns, your behavior, your emotional nature is there. Strange phenomena, but it's there. We are not aware of it because we are not steady in consciousness. Our minds are wandering all over the place and we can't see it. Therefore, we don't recognize it. Now, Jesus used a term and he said, cast not your pearls before swine, lest they turn around and rend you. Literally, this is a monk. Statement. You can take a handful of pearls and put it in front of four or five pigs. They are going to turn around and run you down into the ground. So he's not talking of a literal pig and a literal pearl. concerning human beings. He's talking of the pig-like tendency of the human mind when something of value is presented to them that you cherish as a human being, attempts to elevate you. They, with their animosity and their pig-like tendency, their sensory nature, that grovel in the senses, in the slop of their ignorance, because they don't know any better, then they'll tear into you like wild pigs, and like peccaries. A peccary is a wild pig with two horns right in the front of the nose, and it'll gore you. Human beings have a tendency to do that when you have something of value that you discovered in your life that pretend to elevate you, and they do not understand, they will gore you with their criticisms. Before you know it, you have one individual who is literally massacred by vibrations of words, thoughts of animosity, jealousy, anger, hate, resentment. And to be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove, again, that's not a fact of truth. There is nothing more violent than a dove when it fights. When two doves fight, there is no quarter given between the two doves. And a snake is not smart. He can be outwitted. The only reason he's called wise is because he hides under little holes in the ground and caves to avoid detection. When the master was using those terms or symbols, wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove, it's that because when you reach out to hold a dove, it will come right up to your hand. But that is not what is inferred when he's talking about a human being. Wise as a serpent infers the vital life that is stored up in the spine, coiled up, just like a serpent is coiled up and hidden in some corner and cannot be recognized. In the base of your spine, coiled up within you, in the coccyx, it's shaped like a rattler, and on top of a rattlesnake, it has three little lobes. There within that pocket of the spine, we have the latent life power locked up in us. This potential force is a sounding board of life itself. It's the shunt for the earth currents within the human body and the starting point of the male spine and the female spine. This energy rises up. Once it starts rising up out of its cave, it goes into various areas in the spinal section, in the various areas of the endocrine system, and rising up to the brain. Therefore, you would see in the headdress of the Egyptians the serpent over the headdress, or in the Indian paintings you will see this, the serpent, the head is spread out. They cannot draw life energy as a symbol, otherwise they will draw jagged lines. The only way they can relate to it in terms of art is to draw it like a snake. The reason for that is that when the energy is rising in the spine, it quivers mightily and goes up the spine. And when it quivers and goes up the spine, then it radiates out from the consciousness. This is the reason to say why does the surface, it is rising and vibrating up. When that energy rises within you, your senses open up in an extrasensory way. But it is not the extrasensory powers that you're concerned with. It is the ethical transformation of your nature that you are more concerned with. It's not impossible to perform psychic abilities. Psychic abilities are byproducts of the arising of the current of the spine. This occurs in everybody to some degree. In fact, you can be born having the psychic abilities and having no ethical nature. Master Jesus merely stated this in a simple way. What it profits a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul. And that is, utilizing the ego nature to exhibit psychic abilities, having no ethical nature in terms of human relationships with his fellow man. Therefore, he would have to come back by his unscrupulous methods that he used to take advantage of his fellow man by manipulating them. An ethical life is a spiritual life. The greatest saint may never perform a miracle in his own life. And in fact, the actual truth is, no human being performs miracles. These are the byproducts of the consciousness within the human being at a certain level, crystallizing other people's thoughts. Even Sai Baba goes around, and all the miracles that are attributed to him are in fact the reality that his consciousness crystallizes the people's desires, because Sai Baba is supposed to be of that caliber. And they have a desire, they want something, and he crystallizes it for them. A friend of mine met him, and he visited him for 3 months and saw many manifestations of consciousness. And when he was ready to leave, even his wife, he didn't say to Sai Baba anything, he wanted a picture. He had his camera around him, but out of respect, he didn't want to photograph the man. So the wife spoke up and said, "Can we have a picture?" He said, "All right." So when her husband took out his camera to take the picture, as soon as he snapped the picture, Sai Baba took it away from him. Stopped it. Let it go like that. Materialized a photograph of himself and gave it to him. Then when he was giving it to him, he took it back again and he did 12 taps and 12 of them materialized and he gave it to him. Also, he sensed that the man had a deep yearning for some object. The man had a desire for a ring way back in his childhood days. The desire was so strong that Baba picked up the thought pattern. And he said to him, "You want something?" He says, "No, no." He says, "Yes, you want something." And then he did like that and handed him a ring. And the ring was carved out to the face of Baba on the stone. Well, to his amazement, his desires were crystallized for him by the consciousness of Baba. Baba did not perform a single miracle, because Baba maintains the equanimity of his sanity and his ethical nature at that point in relationship to the frequency, the desire of the individual that is so multitudinous. Is suddenly crystallized in time and space. The manifestation is brought into expression. Equally true, the people that lived around Jesus. Jesus did not have any desire. There's not a single thing that he did is an indication of a miracle. Everything he did was a crystallization of human desire for those who had a desire. The very first crystallization was the desire of his mother for his relatives who were having a wedding and ran out of wine. Now, they drank wine, these people. He attended the wedding as a visitor, as a relative. And the mother had concern because the wine had run out. Insufficient. She knows her son is in that state of awareness. He turned to him and said, "There is no wine." He said, "Woman, what is that to me? indicating once and for all he has no desire. He does not even call her mother, because God is mother nature in the world of manifestation, and to call a woman mother, which is a realized man, would be a violation of the truth. So he has to put her in her place to find her true relationship in connection with the God self. So he says to her, "Woman, my time has not yet come." A master who is functioning, or the soul that is functioning from the master consciousness, does not violate the time cycle, lest it's accountable to the time cycle. And that fellow is a very, very demanding individual. His name is Kal, time. He's very relentless. He wants every penny of the karma you use up, or the life energy that you use in this world of time. Some people call him Satan. But if the time cycle in which the master consciousness is aware of the creative forces that are available to it and can use it. So Master Jesus crystallized her desire by love, out of the love for the woman, which is mother to him. He emanates that thought pattern and causes it to crystallize through the time cycle. The normal time cycle to make wine would be X amount of years to grow the grape, X amount of years to harvest it, X amount of time to beat it into wine and ferment it. So that is time plus energy to bring an object into manifestation. The normal method of bringing it into manifestation. Having the ability to crystallize thought at will now, which is the Christ intelligence, he does not lack anything, he does not want anything, he does not need anything. Therefore, thought is speeded up now into the time cycle. He is capable of manifesting his thought at the speed of light squared, 106,000 miles per second squared, which is instantaneous, because all matter is energy, all matter is atoms, and all atoms are spirit, and all spirit is thought, and all thought is love. And being a master of the intuitive level, his whole being is love. Everything you touch brings his love into crystallization. But he is a human being. He is that expression of the divinity that has taken the flesh. In the beginning is the Word, the audible life current, and the Word was this God. The Word is a consciousness of time, beyond time. And the Word is God. The audible life current is the eternal now. God is the eternal principle, is not a man in a stone. Yet the Word has to become flesh, crystallized into substance at a human level. The humanness of the human body is the divinity in matter, and at the same time is the spirit in motion. And that's why a living master is often referred to as God in flesh. That's why you want to come in contact with that expression at times, to recognize it, to understand divinity in action. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt in man, not the animal. Animal has a flesh body, but man's body is flesh. It's the only substance that will hold back on this side of the wall, the flesh, the five elements of the universe that are in conflict, and on the other side of the wall, in unity. When you look at your body, you are looking at the temple of the creative force, a manifestation of spirit, and you don't have to save your soul because your soul, you have to accept it. But you have to accept at the same time the humility of being spirit, which is a hard thing to do, because the ego is striving definitely and desperately to impress by the psychic abilities that is empowered with. Only at the master level the capacity to crystallize thought is entrusted, providing the physical takes a great deal of spirituality to be ethical, to prevent people from destroying themselves by the misuse of spiritual forces. So when a master is desireless, he has achieved the ethical nature, where he is not influenced now by any physical desire, let alone the attempt to force his will upon his society to make them accept divinity. The nature of Christ in man is that ability to materialize thought at will. Not the man Jesus. All men have their Christ in themselves. The things I do, you shall do also. And greater things you shall do. You can only do the things that the Christ allows you to do within yourself. And you will only do greater things according to the period and the time cycle that you live in. Now, if Master Jesus was to return back in the physical frame, you would not recognize him. In the first place, you will not even accept him, because you're already turned off to the long beard, the long hair, and the sandals and the beads. So what will he come back in that type of a dress to impress us with? Now, if you come back in the Ivy League suit, you can't accept him either. If he comes in a space suit, you can't accept him either. So crying for the second coming of Christ, what are you crying for? Some individual that they come, beep, 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 here I am, Jesus Christ. You got the wrong impression of what the thing is all about. Masters are always in the world. There is never a moment that a self-realized or a God-realized man is not in the world. They have always been, will always be, as long as he exists. From the dawn of creation to the return of creation back into itself, there will always be God-realized men. But to understand God-realized men, you have to understand them on a human level. And that is very difficult, because we have desires and they don't have desires. We think we have to save our souls. They tell us we are souls because they know they are souls. They tell us, don't try to save it. Try to express it. We can't accept that because pain and suffering is too great in our lives. They show us they will take any pain and suffering and rise above it. So soul is that true beingness, and in its nature and in its magnitude is love in action. If we go through all the various desire forms that have been crystallized by the master consciousness, you will see they are no miracles. But there is a law underlying this crystallization of thought. God does not work in miracles, he works by laws. The creative intelligence works by laws. And these laws are all locked up in us. We don't invent them. We simply come to relate ourselves to them and release them. There is a law working inside of us, and it's the law of light. This whole universe is a congealed form of light. It's built like a hologram. One cosmic laser beam, a three-dimensional expression of mass. Therefore, we are crystallized in the laser beam of light, and we have our mass, our three-dimensional experience. But we live in nine dimensions. And we can only seem to utilize a few of the dimensions because we don't understand what a dimension is as yet. We know of length, breadth, and depth. We call that the three-dimensional world. But these are in terms of using the ruler as a device to measure length, breadth, and depth. We also live in the universe of motion while we are in length, breadth, and depth. And that motion is called time. And the only way you measure time is by another ruler. It's called a watch. You are watching the motion of the earth in relation to another heavenly mass, and therefore relating the measurement as time between light and shadow, or light and darkness. There is no time. There is motion. But the motion gives the illusion of time necessary for counting, necessary for action, necessary for relating. Now there is no space either, but there is celestial pressure, where all masses revolve and curve upon themselves and live in a continuum. The mass is held together by the external pressure of push and pull, known as centrifugal and centripetal energy, or forces. Therefore it retains its shape. If you were to take away these pressures, everything will dissolve back into pure energy. And energy is light, and it's only self-contained by its own electron field. And this electron field is called spirit in the Bible. So man is not discovering anything new. He's not making any new universe. He's simply realizing that God is around him as spirit, and that his spirit holds the atom. And that no religion in the earth plane or the planet earth has all the answers about God. Every atom is its throne. Every expression of thought is its presence. So which religion in the earth plane, let alone trying to describe what the divinity is, it's limited. We have to see religion as that particular process in which man finds himself identified in the spirit through action. Therefore, in a galactic system, religion is often termed as celestial harmony. On the earth plane, it is called relating to the Godhead, or returning back to the Godhead, or binding yourself back to the Godhead. The Latin word, re ligiar. Ligiar, to bind, re, back. To bind back. If man binds himself back to his Creator, there are only four ways he can do that. One, by prayer. That particular privilege in which he's endowed to communicate with the Creator principle by thought. Two, by reason, logic, and experimentation to the satisfaction of the senses, lest we feel that he's a superstitious being. To give him the sense of beingness or ego, that he is conquering or dominating the world by his own volition. Third, meditation, the art of conscious shutdown, by conscious volition, the art of conscious sleep, to rejuvenate the body at will. And meditation is only mental energy directing your individual thought activity towards an intuitive observation of oneness of the noumena. This identity brings you oneness to the spirit. The fourth way you can go back to the creative source is the art of conscious death. Scientific life control in which you are capable of shutting down your vital energy, turning it off at will. No man take my life from me. I have the power to lay it down and pick it up. I live and die daily in the Lord. This is conscious control of the life energy of shutting down the heart and lungs at will. The individual who knows this thoroughly does not die by any karmic reaction due to unfinished desires. He alone has the ability to shut the energy. He alone picks it up back nothing to do with the names of the founders. It has to do with the cosmic law of relating back to the universal creative energy, the audible life current. We can do that by sound in the form of prayer, and by the constant repetition of the prayer. We can do it also by logic, analysis, and experimentation to find the source of the audible current in matter. We can do it by meditation, in which we have oneness with matter, oneness with spirit. And finally, we metamorphose ourselves from a grubby non-human being that is subject to decay at death. We can now change this mass by an ethical life into a non-decaying mass of death. When this body has thrown off corruption and taken on non-corruption, it is a glory unto the Lord. To him that overcometh, I will not set foot a second time. You become a cosmic butterfly. You have resurrected yourself by ethical life. The whole purpose of Master Jesus or any master on this earth is to show that the ethical life is a transforming process of changing this physical flesh into spirit, whereby it does not decompose no more. It can be resurrected and taken at will into the galactic systems. Man is on his way back home from the celestial throne of God where he came from. By his own ego, he trapped himself in the time cycle. And as we said, that we read, we are here merely not by the divine law, but we are here by our own misuse of our own free will. And the illnesses we incur are the result of this misuse. We should be thankful that we can recognize it while we're alive in the body. You can't recognize it when you're outside of the body. And you can't correct it when you're outside of the body. And you can't make any contribution when you're outside of the body. The human body, or the flesh, is the testing ground for the spirit. Blessed is he who has been born and has found divine certitude and trust in the spirit of his flesh. That is from the Jain writing. Jesus will put it another way for you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, which is within you, and all these things will be added unto you. It does not matter where you hear the truth, it's the same thing they're talking about. For him that overcometh, I'll not send forth a second time, I'll make him appear in the house of the Lord. Means the same thing. Any questions? Principle. There is the illusion of time in creation must exist or appear to exist. Now, in this appearance, a unit of time is the distance light crosses the width of an electron, giving it potentiality as a creation. Now, the width of an electron is a fantastic measurement. If you ever seen an electron, let alone measure its diameter, you have to measure it in millions and millions of kryptons to get the exact measurement of the width of an electron and the speed at which it's traveling across it. Now, light is traveling at 186,000 miles per second. That is accepted measurement per second. Now, one electron, its diameter, the distance across, is trillions of kryptons, let alone a second. It's microseconds. So there really is no such thing as time. It's infinite motion to the highest degree of ultrasonic movement. The creator is audible life energy. He spoke before he became light. Not a person, it's a principle. Sound precedes the light. But in our relative world in which we live, light seems to come ahead of sound, especially in a thunderclap and lightning. The lightning was to be seen first, and then the roar of the thunder is after. But in the cosmic realm of timelessness, the sound is first and the light is after. In fact, the light is too slow for the sound. Come, let us do something. Let there be light. The command has to be given before the force can go out. So sound is responsible for light. Audible life current. It's audible. Why? Because you can hear it. You can hear the life current inside your own body. It's there. There is a music going on in you if you can listen to it. And those who have heard the music know that they are listening to their own true creator for the first time. That God is bliss. That sound current gives you bliss. Hearing it is one, oh man. Feeling it is another thing. For he who can see the Lord in human form has seen him at his best. must have the power of life over death. That's why the symbol was chosen for it. The creative force must have that control and cannot entrust that control to other forms of the creation. But the other forms of creation, or the other symbols in the astrological process, do have the ability to kill themselves or to perform violence. But they don't have the power of life over death to determine who should perform it. Only in the Sagittarius, you see, the centaur or the archer with the bow and the arrow, which is the justice point, which is the self-destructive principle, and at the same time is upholding the law. Now, Scorpio can only kill itself or sting you. But it can be destroyed by the Sagittarius, and every other one can be killed by the Sagittarius, because the Sagittarius is one of the armed. The rest are not armed in this cosmic cycle. And in the cosmic clock in which we live in, of 24,000 years on the descending arc, and 24,000 years of descending arc, we exist in the cosmic clock. See? So we have to understand what we are doing. We are 12,000 years this way, and 12,000 years this way, ascending and descending, making 24,000 years in a complete circle. Therefore, our clock is designed to have 24 hours, 12 hours in the descent movement, and 12 hours in the ascent movement. Man didn't come along by just imagining these things. He had to relate to the galaxies. He brought his religion from the galaxies. His religion is not a religion or an invention of the earth world. From the time the Creator created us, he set into the process all there is, known as the path of the Master or the audible life currents. So if you go back to your scriptures, you'll see it's a galactic system involved. In the beginning was the Word. In the galactic center, Satchan, or Alpha Centauri, or the Grand Center, just between that point, the cosmic life force is vibrating or pulsating. And the Word was with God. The force field is in total consciousness there and beingness. And the Word is God. That makes all the difference when John wrote his works. The Word is. If he said the Word can be God or ought to be God, this would then throw a different light on the subject that man would be searching now for his soul. But because he said the Word is God, man don't search his soul no more. Man is soul. And the Word was made flesh. That means the creative process became his universe himself by his own time cycles. Out of his timeless nature, he designed a time cycle. He made himself into a lower level of existence by setting up a relative creation based on light and time and space, and put it in a continuum, that means an infinity action, that will be here for as long as we hold it together by karmic law. Now Jesus said when he was in the body, though heaven and earth may pass away, change their form, not one word or jot or tittle of my word shall pass away. Now a jot is a full stop, a tittle is a comma, that's old fashioned English. So not one jot, not one full stop, not one comma in the actual sound frequencies that are released by the voice of the being can ever go out of existence. You can't take out the ideations of existence out of the universe, though you can change their atomic chain. So when my time has not yet come, he could not enforce a dictatorial dominance in the time cycle, because he's a master, to prove to those who live in the time cycle his superiority. He has to respect when in Rome, do like the Romans. When you're in a time cycle, work with the time cycle. So he had to work by divine will. He therefore was at the right place, the right time, for the right confrontation at the wedding, and for the right experience to behave without forcing his will. He had to be asked before he do anything. That is primarily the role of a living master who has mastered himself. The role of the soul living in a time cycle that knows no boundary line save love. By the mere love for the creative force field, he is passing through the time cycles in which he himself is responsible, but he dare not break it. Now Caesar is not above his law. The master is not above the law. He obeys the law, but he shows by his love the law has no control over him. He approaches every condition by facing it and pass through it. And all that time asks us as a human being to face your principles, face your obligations. So if you're facing it, then you're a master of it. If you're not facing it, you're running, and then you're avoiding. And then you avoid, you have to come back and do it all over again. That's what it's called, doing it a second time. You're not overcoming. Now the highest form of therapy for a schizophrenic individual or any neurotic individual is to fight back. Mother, I'd rather do it myself. If you have that type of attitude, you want to do it and fight back, you will break down the patterns that hold you back and you will not avoid or run. Then you transcend. So, involvement is the key word in spiritual growth. Forget your origin. Your origin is established. That God has become you, therefore you are soul. You don't have a soul. Realize your involvement because you're alive and you have a commitment to yourself to face the time cycles and the repercussions. And the journey is towards emergence from reincarnation to resurrection. We do not have to reincarnate, we have to resurrect. Alright, put some ice cream on top of it. Now you know what, my time has not yet come. You understand it? We have to be asked. Now, no master will usurp that right. Though he has the power to crystallize thought, he cannot, because then he would be exhibiting his ego. Ego is best recognized as hurrying to do something too fast without waiting on the Lord's dispensation. Not waiting on the dispensation of the Lord for his time to let you express it. You know when you want to do something badly, you're chomping at the bit? You got to be doing it. Who are you doing it for? The people that need it or for your own self-expression to impress them? Yet if you're weak and don't get aggravated, sooner or later, that's what you have to do, you'll have to. Have you never experienced that? Then you learn lesson number one in the spiritual life, watch out, don't eat your own words back. Because you're going to always eat them back. And the words and the adjectives and the A's and the B's and C's, all the letters, they can stick in that throat there and give you tonsillitis. You know, this is the problem. many of us get burping, you know. We have burped some of the A's and the D's. So, spiritual life is that particular life that throws us into a situation where we may have to eat our own words back by being in a hurry. And you ever hear the people say, I wouldn't do this, I ain't gonna do this no more? What they end up doing in the next half hour. Because that's exactly how the creative intelligence works in us. To make us realize that our ego is locked into the time cycle, and the time cycle is going to throw us the confrontation immediately to make us face it, to eat our own words back. So if you're not in a hurry, you just wait and don't push, sooner or later you're going to get the experience. When you're in a hurry, that's what Jesus says, by the time the job comes, he ain't in a hurry. In fact, he was very, very slow. All that he did, if you take the scriptures and put them, all the things that he did, they can be all done in 24 hours. All the so-called miracles of the 3.5 years of physical existence can be all done in 24 hours. The ability to crystallize thought doesn't take too long. And if it doesn't take too long to crystallize them, how many miracles can you perform in 24 hours? 60 seconds make a minute, 60 minutes make an hour, 24 hours make a day. How many miracles you got? Yep, that's thousands of miracles you're performing. Alright? So we know that even the crystallizing of people's thoughts, we have to teach them the lesson of patience. And even some of the people he could not help, you realize that? Did he not say himself, with these people I can do nothing? A master does not alter the thought patterns of people who don't want to be altered, that set up their own ego and block it. He works with those who are humble and those who are receptive and those who are karmically linked. For he himself is divine love without coercion. He is unconditional love. Therefore he is not concerned or will not use the other individual for his personal gain. He has no gain to have by performing a miracle, because there is no miracle to perform. He brings their desires into focus by responding to the time cycle that the desire is supposed to crystallize to them. He knows exactly that split second that it is going to happen. And if you live the spiritual life, you'll notice that the spiritual life is photo finish most of the time. Now I'm talking from experience now. Those photo finishes, I love you. How I love you, how I love you, I'm their own photo finish. But to see photo finish is good.